Thank you, Brother Terry. I could not have chosen a more perfect song for the message than this one, John 21. Well, I want you to look again this morning and notice the really peculiar and I think familiar way the Apostle John refers to himself. Verse 20, he says, "Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple." Now, John is writing these words, you know that. "He seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved." John calls himself the disciple whom Jesus loved. And not just here, you'll notice verse 7, "Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter." And of course, also in chapter 13, verse 23, also in chapter 19, verse 26, several times John writes in the third person as a means of humility and modesty, and he does it again even in verse 24 when he's talking about this epistle. Look at verse 24. "This is the disciple which testifieth of these things and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true." Well, that's about as third person as you can get. And by the way, John is not saying, "I'm the only disciple Jesus loved," but rather, as a disciple, nothing is greater than being beloved by Jesus. God is love. And the truest thing that you can ever say about a child of God is that you are loved by God. I'll remind you, this is the same John who wrote John 3:16, "For God so loved," and John 13, "having loved his own, he loved them unto the end." And in 1 John 3, "Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God." And in chapter 4 of that epistle, "In this was manifested the love of God toward us," not just me, but all of his own. Which brings us then to this designation that John assigns to himself in verses 20 and verse 7. He calls himself a disciple, right? A disciple, not an apostle, not the fisherman whom Jesus loved, not a writer or an author, though all of those fit. Instead, he uses the word disciple. However, we also know that John would pen four other books in the Bible, including three epistles and the book of Revelation. And how does John refer to himself there? Well, on the screen, 2 John 1, verse 1, he says, "The elder." The elder unto the elect lady. And then in 3 John chapter 1 and verse 1, he's writing again, he calls himself the elder unto the well-beloved Gaius. This word elder refers not only to his age, which it does refer to that, but mostly to his position and his title as pastor at the church at Ephesus. So you have disciple, and you have elder, and then you have something else. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 1, notice what it says. "The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified by his angel unto his servant, John." All right, so now he refers to himself as servant, disciple, elder, and then something else. You may remember that not only was John the youngest of all of the apostles, he was 17 or 18 years of age when he began to follow Jesus, he was also the longest living, following the Lord from his teens all the way up into his 90s, something unique that our Lord alludes to in verse 22 of our text. So, get this carefully. John the disciple, that's a student, a follower. John the elder, teacher and a leader. John the servant, a laborer and a helper in the kingdom. And then, also in Revelation 1, there is another designation. You'll see it on the screen, Revelation 1:9. "I, John, who also am your brother and companion." So there you have it. A disciple, an elder, a servant, a brother. All of these are true and accurate descriptions of the long and amazing journey of the Apostle John. This man didn't go to heaven until at least 66 years after the resurrection. And before he followed Christ, he was already a follower of John the Baptist. Before and during that period of time, he was a professional fisherman in his father's business. John lived a long and amazing life. And you know what? On his tombstone, you could easily inscribe the words, "John the disciple, follower, the learner, the teacher, the servant, the helper, the brother, the companion, all of which are a reminder this morning of some of the greatest lessons and truths, I think, in all of Scripture. And so I hope you'll listen to them very carefully this morning. I want to speak on the subject, the forever label. The forever label. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. And Lord, there are many things that could distract us today that could be between us and you. And I pray that whatever they are, you will help us through your Spirit and through your power to put those aside and away so that we can hear what the Spirit has to say to us. Bless this, your word, in Jesus' name. Amen. Three lessons I want us to consider this morning from the life and testimony of a man whose life God has described for us here in the pages of Scripture. And yes, John, the Apostle John, was a disciple. Yes, he was an elder. He was a servant. He was a fisherman. He was a companion and a brother. All kinds of labels for John's long and fruitful life. But one of them is a forever label. Which brings us to these three lessons. Number one, you'll notice, is a lesson of identity. You see verse 20 again, it says, "Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple." Now we noted in Revelation 1 and verse 1, the last line, he calls himself a servant. In verse 9, he calls himself a brother and a companion in the kingdom of Christ. Earlier we noted he calls himself the elder. All of these designations are different and they're unique, but all of them are concerned or thus identified with one person. All of them are connected to the Lord Jesus. In other words, he's not just a disciple. He's a disciple of Christ. He's not just a servant. He's a servant of the Lord Jesus. He's the Lord's servant. And he's not just a teacher. He's the Lord's teacher and elder. And as a brother, he's a brother and a companion in Christ's kingdom. So you see, folks, that it's not that John wants to be known as an author. Best-selling author, and boy, was he a best-selling author. It's not that he wants to be known as a businessman, though he was, a fisherman, a statesman, a celebrity, even when he went to jail. And when he was exiled by Roman officials to what would be their version of Alcatraz prison, you realize he doesn't see himself as a dissident, or a reformer, or a civil rights leader, or a political activist. Oh, no, no. He declares precisely why he was under arrest. Notice again Revelation 1, verse 9. "I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation or trials, and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos." Why? "For the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ." Now think about this. 65 years after John was beaten by the Sanhedrin in Acts chapter 5, 65 years after he was beaten for being identified for the Lord Jesus, he is still identified with Christ and still hated for it. Now look, 65 years, folks, is a long time. Incredible changes have taken place in Israel and in John's life. There's no temple. There's no priesthood anymore, basically, are gone. The Herods are all gone. All of his fellow apostles are up in heaven. It is a different Caesar and an entirely different Rome. Mary is gone, who Jesus said, "Take care of her." His own mother and their father, his father is gone. His young legs that outran Peter to the tomb, you may remember, they're not so young anymore. They're feeble. He's an old man who's had a lot of experience. He's seen a lot of changes. And just as 23 popes, by far the most, have taken on his name, it is clear that a lot of people would assign a label to this man, John. But John himself, he's not finding his identity. He's not receiving the identification of titles or positions or accomplishments. No, no, no. After all these decades, folks, John still sees himself, and he's still suffering as a servant of Jesus Christ. "I, John, who am your brother in Christ." And you know, folks, I got to say this. When I look out on a Sunday morning, every Sunday morning or Sunday night, Wednesday night, and I see people I've known for 10 years, 20, 30, some 40 years before I even came here are here. I know what kind of work that you do, most everybody here. Or I know the kind of work that you used to do. I know who's an engineer, who's an attorney. I know who's a teacher, a mechanic, a carpenter, a well digger. I know most all the labels that are attached to your life and your occupation. But when I look out here, what I see far more than anything are just children of God. What I see is a child of God, a Christian, a disciple of Christ. Do you remember when the terrified mariners asked Jonah, "What is thine occupation?" And Jonah answered, "I'm a Hebrew and I fear the Lord." And they said, "Well, that explains it." That was his identification. I tell our young people in Sunday school, you know what? You're anxious to go off and get a degree and establish a career and build yourself a resume and a portfolio. That's good. Go ahead. Nothing wrong with that. But if your identity isn't found already in your Lord and Savior, then your entire life is just another 1 in 8 billion. There's really nothing there. Let me ask you a question. Do you know how many political activists, nonprofit executives, writers, influencers, podcasters, radio hosts, public speakers, CEOs, do you know how many husbands, fathers, sons, American citizens, and media personalities and board members there are in this world? How many thousands and thousands there are, and even more, who want those labels? Well, you know what? Charlie Kirk carried all of those labels along with a gazillion other people. The difference is that none of those labels defined him. The only label that did define him was Christian, child of God. You see, folks, what you do may describe you, but only Christ can define you. So that Christian can never be one of your labels. Well, I'm this and I'm this and I'm this, and by the way, I'm also a Christian. No, Christian is a label that gives meaning to everything else in your life. Let me just say, John isn't living and demonstrating just the name of a Christian. There are a lot of professing Christians, and nobody identifies them with Christ. If you ask them, or maybe on their Facebook, Christian. But nobody around them identifies them with the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what I say? Then what good are they? You say, "Well, Pastor, I just want to go down as really successful, really well-known, what?" What is the label that you want as your identity in this world? Well, if I could just be famous, powerful, admired, okay, but admired for what? And why? Not long ago, Publix had Red Baron Pizza. BOGO, frozen. And there was this mom, you know, they have them in the front sometimes, and she was putting like 6 of them in her cart, and you could see the kids. She had like 4 kids, and a couple of them were standing by the cart, and they were just excited about it. And one of them, who's sitting in the cart, had one on his lap and was looking at it. And he said something along the lines of, there's a picture of him on the front. "He's my favorite chef." Now, never mind he has goggles and, you know, a scarf and a pilot's leather helmet. But it occurred to me, you know, to this child, and probably millions and millions of young people, maybe the whole generation, as far as they're concerned, Red Baron's a pizza maker. He does look Italian, which must irk the Germans. I don't know, but he looks Italian on there. But when he said that, you know, "He's my favorite chef," I wanted to grab that boy and say, "Son, do you know who Manfred von Richthofen is, the Red Baron? 80 aerial combat victories. He's the only pilot ever who has the title Ace of Aces, Iron Cross, Order of the Red Eagle. The Red Baron was a legendary man and had a legendary label. But now it's just microwave pineapple pizza. I wonder if he thought about that when he was risking his life day after day after day after day. So, okay, what label are you hoping to attain that also won't last? I think all of us, beloved, should go ahead and embrace the glory and value and reality and truth that all that I am or ever will be is a follower of Jesus Christ, a child of the living God by His grace. That's our label. You know, Joseph was a carpenter, and so was Jesus. But that's not who they were. The Ethiopian eunuch was the CFO to a queen. Imagine that. Talk about a position and a title. He was the CFO to the queen. But that's not his identity today. What is glorious is not his talent for handling finances. What's glorious is that he got baptized in a desert after putting his faith in Jesus Christ. And then he was identified with Jesus. There is a lesson of identity. What's yours? It brings us to the second thing. You'll notice it's a lesson of fidelity or faithfulness. Verse 24 of our text says this. Look at it. This is the disciple which testifieth of these things and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true. On the screen, I want you to see Revelation 1:9 again. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom of patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for or because of the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. Now, this island, hear this, this island of Patmos, this is not Bora Bora. This is not like Bali. He's not on Kauai or Fiji or Capri. This island was chosen by Rome not for its beauty, but because it made for a great fortification and a great place to imprison people. And John says, I was exiled there. I was sent there because I was a believer and a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, folks, he's an old man. We just read a moment ago that in his youth, he was a disciple. And I know his testimony is true. But he's now being put away by Rome. So what's he going to do as an old man, 90 plus years of age, on this God-forsaken island? What's he going to do? Here's what he does. Look at verse 10. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice. Now, wait a minute. Wait. The Lord's day? You do understand that that's not the Sabbath. Saturday is the Sabbath. The Lord's day was Sunday. And it is called that because of the resurrection. It was a long, long time ago, this resurrection, over six decades ago for John. And in fact, it was John and his friends who called it the Lord's day and started meeting together on that day. No other Jews did that. Sunday in Israel was the first day of the work week, and yet here's John, 65 years later. 65 years later, he's exiled to this prison island. He's old and he's frail, but there on that island, he knows what day of the week it is. He knows who he is, and he knows it's not just Sunday, it's the Lord's day. It is the reason he says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. What do you mean by that? It means he went to church. I don't mean that he went to a church building. It's not a church location. There was no First Baptist Church of Patmos. But there was a believer. There was the Lord. And there was the Lord's day. And much to John's surprise, there was also a really long sermon. Revelation 1 again. Here's verse 10. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. Boy, you talk about a church service. Wait till John sees the choir. And he's about to. But you see, the lesson is that even as an exile, alone and aged and unseen and persecuted, John is not in the flesh. He's in the Spirit on the Lord's day. This is what you call fidelity. This is what you call faithfulness. John may well have been a prisoner of Rome, but he is still, and he knows it, a child of the living God. Peter and James, they were martyred by Rome. Not for the label of fisherman or swordsman or dissident. No. It was Christ Jesus that they themselves were identified with and faithful to. In the final verses of our text here in John, you'll notice that the Lord Jesus reveals to Peter and to John that their lives will take completely different paths. And boy, did they ever. Peter did not walk the same road as John. In fact, John would miss him for over 60 years because Peter went on early to heaven. And yet both of them, note this, both of them were still known. They were still known by everybody for the same thing. Both of them were still faithful for the same identity as being children of the living God. And you know something? Every Christian can do that. You don't have to be a Peter or a John. Every believer can be known and faithful till the day I die. I remember when Andy was a little boy, he was watching me write out a sermon. And he'd see it dozens and scores of times every week. And this time he said, "Dad, does God give you the words to say?" And that was a trick question. I said, "Yes." He said, "Then why do you use whiteout?" I said, "Look here, you little brat. But I remember thinking to myself, you know, our lives are like that. We say, well, I thought for sure that this was God's will or this path. I thought that maybe God wanted me to do this, and I wish it were like John, my life were like John, and not so much like Peter. Everybody has a different path. Some people live to be old like John. Others go to heaven young like Charlie Kirk. Everybody has a different path. All that Jesus requires is, be thou faithful unto death. That's all. And every Christian can do that, no matter what these earthly labels. A lesson of identity, a lesson of fidelity. And number three, and I'll hurry, we're going to baptize in a moment. Notice there's a lesson of eternity. Notice across the page in John 20, would you? You're in the Gospel of John. Verse 17, Jesus saith unto her, "Touch me not." Now this is right after the resurrection. "Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren." Ooh. So that's amazing. Yeah, but it gets better. "Go to my brethren and say to them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, to my God and to your God." Now, wait a minute. Notice that. John said that he was a brother. After the resurrection, Jesus said, "I'm going to heaven. By the way, you're still my children. He is your Father and my Father." He says, "My brethren, I ascend unto my Father and your Father." Also in chapter 20. Look at verse 31. "But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have," that means eternal life through his name. Chapter 21, look down at verse 14. "This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead." In other words, look, John, what John said in Revelation, "I also am of your brethren," the Lord Jesus affirms that very reality, eternal reality, in his resurrected body. And the lesson of eternity is that whatever John was, as a fisherman, that's temporal. Whatever title or position that he had, even as an elder, the title was temporal. But the beloved part, beloved by God, the brother, the child of God part, that's a forever label. Mechanic, nurse, engineer, teacher, cabinet maker, server, bank teller, pastor, painter, that's what you do. Child of God is who you are. And unlike mechanic or builder, that's the one thing you will always be forever. Why in the world would any child of God shy away from that? So you know something, beloved, to the highest degree possible, the highest degree ever. Go out those doors. Go out into this world and just embrace that label. Servant of God. Child of God. For John, still persecuted for Jesus at 90 years of age, of course he's embracing his identity as a believer in Jesus, because Jesus, he writes in this book, is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I was thinking about this earlier this week, the same John, who again, 19, maybe 20 years of age, the same John who sat next to Jesus at the Last Supper and leaned on him 70 years later is still leaning on his Lord. And on this Lord's Day morning in 2025, John is with the Lord and will be with him forever. It is a lesson of eternity. And the lesson is, there's only one forever label, and that's the one you live and breathe and die for. That's the only one. You live and breathe and die for. Because that's the one that matters forever. How about you this morning? What are you known for? Or what do you want to be known for? Are you labeled and known for your finances, your fashion, your fitness, or your faith? Your faith. As Terry said a moment ago, when you die, will people talk? Will your death cause people to talk about Jesus? Wow. Well, they can. It could be that way, if that's who you're identified with, concerning all the other labels that you may have in this life. Some of you in this room, there's no doubt in my mind, watching by live stream, you have yet to receive Christ as your Lord and Savior. There is no identity with Jesus because you've never accepted Jesus for the salvation of your soul. This is the day to do that. Today is always the day of salvation to those who are lost. For those who are saved, we're going to baptize in a moment. You know what baptism is? Baptism is identifying. That's what the Bible says. It's identifying with Christ. But you have to do that the rest of your life, all the days of your life. And God calls every Christian here to do that. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed for just a moment. I wonder who might say this morning, Pastor Blaylock, I'm here today, and by the grace of God, I'm a believer, I'm a Christian. But as a Christian, I needed this reminder today. Look, folks, life is a vapor. I mean, it's here and it's over. And it's gone. Might as well live who you are, a child of the living God, and let all the other stuff just go. Pastor, I'm here today and I'm saved, but I needed this reminder today as a Christian with heads bowed. Who would say that? Would you lift your hands through the building and God bless you, and I raise mine for sure. Amen. Amen. Hey, let them know. Let the people know who you are. Give him the glory for what he's doing and will do in your life. Be identified with Jesus Christ, because that's your forever label. All that other stuff is meaningless. Pastor, I'm here today. I'm among those. I couldn't raise my hand that I know for sure I'm saved, but I'd like to know it. I need to know it. You're in this building. I'm not going to come to you and embarrass you, but I'd love to pray for you. If that's you, you're not sure today that you're saved, but you want to be sure, could we pray? with heads bowed and eyes closed. Who might say that? Pastor Willie, I'm not sure that I'm saved today. Raise your hands really high, those of you who aren't sure, but just asking for prayer. God bless you. Someone else, hold up high enough where we can see it. Anyone? All right. At home, where you are right now. Raise your hand. The Lord sees it. Say, I need to be saved. We're going to pray in a moment, have a time of invitation. But if you're here today and you're not sure about your own salvation, can I just tell you the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the wages of that sin is death. In other words, we're all lost. All have sinned and come short. The wages of that sin is eternal death. And if that were all the Bible said, we would all be doomed to hell forever. But the rest of the verse says, the gift of God, free, paid for by Jesus' blood, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. I taught in Sunday school this morning the words of Jesus, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And that there is one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. Yes, he's the only Savior. And today, if you've never accepted him, just pray. Reach out in prayer. Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner and I need to be saved. I know I'm lost and I accept you today as my Lord and Savior. That's the first identity you need with Christ. Father, bless now the invitation. Have your will and your way in our hearts and lives. Bless this time, Lord, and folks will come just to kneel and pray, some perhaps getting saved, some profession of faith, or joining the church. Just bless this invitation time for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.